William Shakespeare's Henry VIII and Measure for Measure will receive their first productions on the internationally renowned stage, the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival at DeSales University. Yes, we are very fortunate in the Valley. And the Bard himself is assuredly excited to see his characters and plots come to life again this year on stage, live. Equally important, you can be a part of this excitement too. And Oscar Wilde shares the limelight with his The Importance of Being Earnest. Rodgers and Hammerstein make a musical appearance, so to speak, in Oklahoma. John Buchan sees his novel of comic calamity and mystery with four actors playing 150 characters in the amazing The 39 Steps. And for the family, Beauty and the Beast, and Shakespeare for Kids. What more could you ask for in a brilliant summer entertainment? You are now tuned in to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 in Allentown. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat with producing artistic director, Patrick Mulcahy. What a great lineup of comedy, intrigue, murder, mayhem, and music. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Murder and mayhem.
Murder and mayhem.
Before we get to the murder of mayhem, though, we were saying before the show, it's interesting to give folks a sense, just a kind of a snapshot of the festival itself and why it's different and why we're so lucky to have it here in the Valley.
Indeed. Thank you. Yeah, the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival is distinctive in that the actors that you see when you come to the festival are typically from New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, and are artists in recent years have included winners and nominees of Tonys and Emmys and Obies and Outer Critics Circle Awards and all the awards in the various major cities in the country. So these are artists who have already been determined by other people to be among the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And that's a special opportunity. You can drive an hour or so into Philadelphia or New York to have that experience. Mm-hmm. But also because the Shakespeare Festival is offering Shakespeare and Broadway musicals and contemporary comedies, it's a fully dimensional regional theater. And so to have an experience where you could see plays in rep, you would have to, at this level, you would have to drive, 4 or 5 or 6 hours to see that. And if you wanted to attend a theater where you could see Shakespeare plays and plays in rep and Broadway musicals, you would have to drive 8 or 9 hours into Canada. That would be the nearest place you could have that experience.
Mm. Wonderful. I was impressed by the number of actual graduates of DeSales University who have gone on and worked professionally in New York and in film and come back and perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're able to find, terrific artists from all over the industry, people who are highly recognized, highly skilled, highly accomplished. But one of the ways we've been able to do that is sometimes to bring back our own alumni who have been so successful. Last year we had, the actress in Dee Rossioli come back to do Sweeney Todd after doing Elphaba and Wicked. Yeah. This year, for example, Alexi Gilmore is doing Gwendolyn in The Importance of Being Earnest. She has played opposite Robin Williams in one feature film, Matthew McConaughey in another feature film, where she was the girl. She wasn't playing a minor role. She was the girl in the film, and the casts are full of actors with this kind of experience.
And our audiences love that, to not only see someone who they have seen on television, but also who they know who have gone to DeSales.
Right, yes. And in Alexi's case, it's particularly interesting because the last time she played Gwendolyn in The Importance of Being Earnest, it was as a student at DeSales University.
Oh, that's lovely.
20 years ago.
Well, and that's another thing, too, about the mix. There is an internship element of the summer of the Shakespeare Festival, and those students get an amazing opportunity because of who you do bring in, who they're working with over the summer.
Yeah, we describe it as sort of like a teaching hospital in that regard, that you really do have this very high-level opportunity that is rare. It's very common for MFA programs, Master of Fine Arts programs, to have this kind of association with thoroughly professional theater. It's very unusual for an undergrad program to provide this level of opportunity to be working with people that they've been watching in film and television their whole lives or might have seen on the Tonys or et cetera.
Yeah. Which leads us to the season. I think it's interesting, too. I know I start to see certain actors and directors. It's like an extended family. It ebbs and flows, and there's always wonderful new faces and energy.
Yes.
And then things to look forward to, like we were talking about importance of being here, and it's Jim Helsinger, who is directing, is also playing Lady Bracknell,
yes.
Which just knowing Jim Helsinger, it's like, you have to see this. You can't miss this.
Exactly. Yes.
And does that kind of go into, as we've talked about how you choose a season in the past, I know you pick it for the work to have the season hang together a certain way, but isn't it joyous to know you've got these folks that'll come back in and make it happen?
It is, and in some cases, typically we start with the plays themselves,
yeah,
with
yes.
the work themselves, but there are cases where we'll say to ourselves, you know, wouldn't it be a hoot to have Jim Helsinger play Lady Bracknell?
Right.
Or Jim and I will be in a conversation about several different projects that we might involve him in, because we have to plan several years out to get
yeah.
on his calendar,
mm-hmm,
and he has to do the same with us. And so sometimes we will get these little twinkles in our eyes that lead us in a particular direction.
And the Shakespeare pieces this year, the Henry VIII, Measure for Measure, are both new to the festival.
Yes.
I can't remember. Do you usually choose two new? I mean, that's a little daunting, bold, exciting.
Well, I guess it is. It's
these
are the 25th and 26th of Shakespeare's plays
okay.
that we will have produced in our 22 seasons. So that puts us about two-thirds of the way through the canon.
Okay.
And there are only 12, or depending on how you count them, 12 or 13 left that we won't have gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose it is a bold move. I think it's, you know, it's what we're here to do. It's at the center of our mission.
Right.
The timing seemed right to do these plays. And as always, anytime we're choosing a season, we're looking for breadth and dimension. And opposite Oklahoma and the 39 Steps and the Importance of Being Earnest, you really do want some complexity and something thought-provoking and some weight in the appropriate sense, you know, weight where it feels like a really seven-course meal.
Yeah. Hmm. And one of them will be, we were talking about this too, my favorite, Henry VIII will be offered in the now iconic or signature style of the Shakespeare Festival. Could you explain a little bit about this leaderless
yes,
process?
Yes, this is the third year in a row now where we choose one Shakespeare play to rehearse and produce in a way that is similar to what we think would have been the circumstances for Shakespeare's company. There was no director in the way we think of it back then. There were no designers in the way we think of that role now.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there was very little rehearsal time. The actors did most of the work on their own. It's not to say that, in a way, maybe there was the same amount of rehearsal time, but it was actors rehearsing on their own rather than in a company, with a director and in the same room as the way we do now. And so, yeah, these actors come in with their lines learned. They put the whole thing together themselves in 4 days. They raid the costume shop and decide what they're going to wear, which is what actors would have done then, is they would have pulled from their own clothes, and they would have, if the theater had any, they would have used, you know, some of those pieces.
Yes.
But they would have been a mixture of things. And they open after 4.5 days in front of an audience on adrenaline and spontaneity and really the work that they have done on their own. It's a little more like an opera singer who comes in and has a rehearsal
sure.
or two, and boom, you know, they're on.
But it's pure. It really is. Because, I suppose it would be difficult to ad lib in the Shakespearean tone.
Henry VIII, yeah.
It is, but if there's ever a project where they'll have to, this might be
this
it.
This is it. I'd forgotten it was only 4 days.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And actors love it, don't they? We were just talking about that as well.
We loved it when we watched
it,
of course.
Yeah.
They do. Well, that's the thing. The novelty is part of the hook for an audience member coming to see it. But then oftentimes, as you said, they're pleasantly surprised by the fact that we're actually doing the play.
Absolutely.
You know, and quite fully. And the actor, there's something that sort of goes off inside the actor when they know that it's all up to them. And there's something thrilling about that, too, because there's no one in the way, if you will. There's no one they have to negotiate with other than an entire cast of actors.
Your fellow actors.
Now, Measure for Measure is running in repertory with Earnest, am I right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Those two plays are a little different.
Yes,
one
yes,
from the
yes.
Other.
It's an interesting mix.
That's part of the fun of rep, too,
yeah.
is both for the actor and the audience to get to do completely different work in the same day, because they are literally rehearsing each one, you know, half the day goes to one and half the day goes to the other. But then in performance, too, to do a matinee of one and go have dinner and come back and do the
and
evening
I don't know if
performance.
Our listeners realize that. I mean, literally, they're playing two roles a day often, very different roles.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And they're not the only ones who have to turn on a dime. Of course, the all the scenery
design.
Comes and goes, and the costumes change completely, and all the design elements change over very quickly, too.
That must be very difficult. The only thing I can relate to is when I was very young and apprenticing for my equity card, we would work for a summer musical Straw Hat Circuit.
Yes,
we would always be doing two musicals at the same time,
yes.
Which kind of bled one song into another, you know, at one point. But these two plays are just very different.
They are indeed. Yeah, they really get to stretch. They stretch an actor. I mean, actors who do theater, most of them really want to feel like they can do anything as an actor. Like they can go from A to Z. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this really gives them the opportunity to do that.
It's interesting, Oklahoma too. I always say that, you know, I don't know. I'm not as steeped in musicals as most because my voice is frightening. I can't do it. Can't sing, and I always forget something like Oklahoma. For instance, we're talking about Oscar Wilde in the same breath as Shakespeare. You know, it's
yes.
these classics, these greats. Yeah. Oklahoma as a piece, as in a piece of American theater, musical theater, was a turning point, a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yes.
It's more than a summer's entertainment.
Absolutely, it's there's a very deft balance of comedy and a serious mm-hmm. tone in it as well. And the way the plot is structured, going back and forth between those two, it's really beautifully done. I mean, it's, you know, for a musical that's considered sort of it's the first of its kind, in that it was, you know, one of the first musicals to really have the characters' behaviors leading into song or leading into dance in a psychologically sound way,
mm-hmm.
So that it was motivated. It wasn't the play stopped and now we have a little number.
Mm-hmm.
It really, you know, moves the plot forward and reveals elements of character. And all of the things we take for granted now really started here. There were some other musicals that leaned in this direction before this, but Oklahoma was groundbreaking in that way. And it's a very strong book, and the music is just transcendent. And mm-hmm. when you get the right voices on there, and I believe we've got them, mm-hmm. it's really something.
It's interesting. What was the quote I read? Who was the producer who saw it in a preview in New York and said, "No jokes, no legs, it'll never work."
Yes,
and then,
right.
of course, it went on to become absolutely a smash.
Ran for 13 years. It was the first Broadway musical
to
do that. And there were no Tony Awards at the time, but it did win the Pulitzer. So, yeah.
And that's the season. Now, that's open.
It's open now.
Opened,
it's
yeah.
open, and it runs through the 30th of June, so there are
right.
just two more weeks to see it,
all
and
right.
it's well worth it.
I've heard wonderful things about it.
Yeah,
yeah, we're looking
it's deeply
forward
satisfying.
To it. Now,
yeah.
the choreography, too, and I was reminded Agnes DeMille's choreography was also an experimenting with that sense of psychological, the great dance at the end of Act One,
yes,
the
right.
sense of character. And it must be fascinating for your choreographer, for your artist, to be true to that element of the piece and yet make it your own.
Right, exactly. You to know. Take the inspiration from DeMille,
yeah.
not necessarily replicate DeMille,
mm,
but
right.
to start with that creative germ that was hers and then build from there. It's also the first major dance show that the Shakespeare Festival has tackled in
really?
Musicals.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
It and it's a tremendous challenge to do that in the amount of rehearsal time in the 3.5 weeks, especially
right.
when
yeah.
the play is sort of nonstop dance. And
yeah.
And fortunately, our choreographer, Stephen Casey, is brilliant and really nailed it. So, it's funny, my wife was in the national tour of Oklahoma with John Davidson some years back.
Oh, no.
And I got, you know, during opening night, I was able to
compare,
you know,
notes.
Compare notes,
get some,
yes.
Get
right,
some.
Right.
Mm.
Yes.
And of course, it's dazzling. Dazzling. There
yeah.
you go. My voice is breaking at this moment. It is dazzlingly directed by Dennis.
Yes, right.
We always enjoy his work because there's always a special touch of Dennis Razzie in the productions, the musical productions.
Yeah. He just knows how to
yeah.
do this.
He certainly does.
It's extraordinary, his ability.
Yeah. It's great.
It's a joyous way to open the season.
A wonderful way of opening the season. We are, of course, chatting with Patrick McKay, the producing artistic director of the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. I'm George Miller, and this is Kate Scuffle with us. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 Allentown, and we will be right back after this Measure for Measure.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Arts Academy Charter School, serving students in grades 5 through 8, a tuition-free, arts-enriched public school, Academic curriculum is enriched by classes in dance, figure skating, theater, music, and visual arts. Students have artistic as well as academic instruction each school day. For more information, arts-cs.org.
If you are a Golden Age folkie and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on Folk Classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk Classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
Please, everyone, join hands and celebrate 22 years of exceptionally wonderful theater, the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. We're chatting with Patrick McKay, and we're talking about the season as well as the ins and outs of particular pieces that have been chosen for this year.
At the festival, we were talking about, too, there's a couple special pieces I see, the Screwtape Letters and the Gospel According to St. Mark. What? You talk a little bit about that. I think they're both only one night each. Is that
right?
They
are, yeah. Most of our productions are, run for three or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. But we do throw in a few one-night-only experiences as well, just to, again, further enrich the season. And one is coming up actually a week from today, which is the Gospel According to St. Mark.
Yes.
Wayne Turney has done this a few times in the Valley, but he's been doing it for 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's an Emmy-winning actor. He's one of the artists at the festival. And this is an extraordinary piece. He's, one man and a book from the Gospels, and you would say, well, how could that be interesting?
But it is
fascinating, and it's really distinctive. It's unlike anything I've ever seen, I think.
We know a few people who have gone back every year because there's something special about, they remember what it was, and now it's become something just a little bit different, and they're intrigued by that.
Yeah. And to be clear, we do some things that are adaptations. This is in no way an adaptation. It is literally the cadences from the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Screwtape Letters.
Yes, C.S. Lewis. This actor, Anthony Lawton, has a couple of these pieces, two different C.S. Lewis pieces. Okay. He's also done The Great Divorce for us.
Okay.
And this was a huge hit. This sold out just a couple of years ago for us. Mm. And it's a little like when we were talking about Henry VIII and the challenges for the actor in that case, and in repertory, the challenges for the actor in that case, or in Wayne Turney's piece, the challenge of doing a one-man show. This is a two-actor piece, and that's a distinctive opportunity. That's, again, an opportunity to see what actors are capable of, because it's not scenographically complex. Mm-hmm. It's really all about, the actor and the word and the action.
Mm-hmm. And the Shakespeare, I caught my eye to Shakespeare and Catholicism, a joint program, if you might want to mention.
Yes, that's a talk that a professor will be giving and looking at the linkages that
Lewis
he sees between Shakespeare. There are all sorts of fascinating theories about, was Shakespeare Catholic? Was he not? Was he hiding his Catholicism? Was he feeding it through the plays as a kind of code? There are all sorts of interesting topics, and this is an evening
talking about that. And that's Wednesday, July 31st. And before both the Shakespeare pieces, audiences coming early can share in the prologues, conversations, which I think is great.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I mean, this is, how to see a Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Whether you're experienced with seeing Shakespeare plays or it's your first time, there's a couple of very simple steps to take. I mean, attending these prologues is a great thing to do. They're free.
Mm-hmm.
They're 45 minutes before the play, and you're going to hear a lot of information that will just help you get even more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, there are two things to do if you're coming to a Shakespeare play. Read the synopsis first, and you'll say, well, won't that give it away? And well, not really, because the plots are great, but you'll get so much more out of the beauty of the language and the complexity of the characters and relationships. You'll penetrate it more deeply if you already have the plot sort of taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the other thing is just listen. Just listen carefully, because the words are pretty good.
we're kind of excited, too, because one of our friends, Dr. June Schluter, will be talking about Measure for Measure and Henry VIII in Savoring Shakespeare coming up August 3rd and 4th.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, if you have not heard Dr. June Schluter speak before, you definitely want to be there.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity.
Yes.
It just seems I was looking at the season brochure and I was taken with you were talking about how the festival allows you to kind of go inside and I mean it's an outdoors, it's summer, but we're going into these different worlds, which is one of the things that I think draws a lot of people to the theater as actors, as writers, as directors, and then to offer these worlds. And I love the idea of the rep, the musical to the actor created piece. Right. It must be an incredibly exciting immersion for all of you, though, too. Quite magical.
It is.
Hard work and sweat, but...
It is. And this moment in particular, this point in the season, is always very exciting. I mean, the other day, I walked out of a dress rehearsal for the 39 Steps and into a preview of Oklahoma, having just been welcomed the cast of The Importance of Being Earnest earlier in the day and knowing that Measure for Measure is already in rehearsal and Beauty and the Beast is already open. It's just there's so much going on in the building. It's sort of pulsating with, you know, artistic life, which is very exciting.
Well, you can certainly feel it even on those opening nights or those nights of performance. You can just feel what is happening to the cast. And what you're about to see is very exciting.
It's magical. Yeah, yeah. We should remind now, we always tend to forget this, if someone wants tickets, the website, the basic info, the way to read, people should think about going early not only for prologues, but for the Cafe on the Green,
yes,
the picnic
right.
experience,
yes,
seeing
yes.
old friends, making an evening of it.
Yes, right. It's a kind of a community that forms there, and,
and
people can join at any time and at any point. Yeah. PAShakespeare.org is where to get tickets and more information.
And we're certainly looking forward to that. One of the things that I did want to mention, for those of you who are historically bound to Shakespeare, Measure for Measure, actually, was believed to have been written in 1603 or 1604, and it is classified as a comedy, is it not?
Yes, more or less. It's sort of Shakespeare's departure from comedy in a way. He never quite returns to it in the same way he did with As You Like It and Twelfth Night, etc. So it's a comedy. The Merchant of Venice is classified as a comedy, and I would say this is just about as funny. There is humor in it, and there's real humor in it, but there's also weight. It's a fascinating play that you don't get to see very often.
No.
But it's it's sort of the Elliot Spitzer story, except with a nun. You know, if you remember the New York governor who had a little problem with being, you know, a moral tyrant of sorts, and then, you know, comes back to bite you. And but it's a fascinating play that explores where, you know, personal liberty and social justice meet, and who should determine what behavior is appropriate. Those are the kinds of questions the play asks.
And the director is?
Fontaine Sire, who directed King Lear for us and Othello in recent years as well.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who gets plays that
I was going to say
require a little thought.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw the Lear and it was subtle and magnificent.
I mentioned that only because The Importance of Being Earnest is most people don't know this, is subtitled, really, A Trivial Comedy for Serious People.
Ironically.
Serious enough, I suppose.
So that mix dances throughout the season, that tension.
Yes.
Well, The Importance of Being Earnest, I think, is pure comedy. It's I believe it to be one of the funniest plays ever written. It is a gem, and it's Wilde at his most brilliant point. Before his life got very complicated after he wrote this, but it's a magnificent piece.
The interesting thing about it is I've had the good fortune, unlike some pieces, to have seen several productions of it, and I'm always astounded by, A, how different, depending on the cast and the actors, because it's such a great actor's piece, too, and how fresh every time. It's always an adventure. It's always so funny.
Yes, I agree.
And if I recall, in Henry VIII, the figure of the prologue, comes forward onto the stage, and he tells everyone how serious a play we are about to see. So all of these, there is a thread here, is there not, Patrick?
there is. But it is that balancing act. Because
yes,
I think also in that prologue he says, but, you know, don't worry too much.
It's okay.
Right. interestingly enough, the play is named for the character Henry VIII, but yet we wonder whether the king is really the main character in the play.
Right.
After we start seeing it. We won't divulge any more, of course, because we want you to go and see it. I am sure that the season is going to be very exciting for all people, not only the directors, but the actors and the staff of the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, but certainly the audiences. So you need to support this wonderful professional theater we have in our own backyard. And we ask you to tell your friends in about a 300-mile radius that this is happening right here so that they may come and visit you and see some wonderful theater.
And don't forget, we didn't really talk about it, but, you know, there's a lot of educational elements. There's the wonderful Willpower Tour, thanks to Lenny Fowler.
Indeed, indeed.
You know, who's dearly missed. And so not only the excitement for us in the audience, but the education and the joy and the learning.
I think a lot of people don't know that about half of the people we reach in any given year are young people, our students. Between the summer and the tour that goes out to the schools, about half of them are young people.
And that's exciting.
Which is so crucial, especially now.
Yeah.
Well, now we have about a minute left, and I'm going to sing for you, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
No. Okay. That would not be a good idea. No. Although, again, a lone figure on stage opens Oklahoma as well.
Yes, our director and program director said, no, please don't sing, George, please.
That would be Neil Hebrew, we think.
Yes, we do, thank you. He is truly, actually, a bard of technical engineering for his ability to make us bellow as sterling classical actors on live radio. Thank you, Neil.
That was a mouthful.
Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, Center Valley, Pennsylvania. DeSales University, 610-282-WILL, PAShakespeare.org. Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, everyone, at the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival for giving us 22 years of exceptionally wonderful theater.
It's our pleasure, and we thank the audience, too.